Gary Doyle Show.
Brad and Jose and I were talking on the break about this situation in Pakistan with these 132 kids ages 12 to 16 years old that were killed among the 145 by the six suicide bombers at the Army Public School and Degree College. And basically our conversation was a continuation of what we talked up to the break about, which is that if Brad's kid, his daughter, was one of the kids that was in that school, that if there was anything that could have been done up to the point where that happened, that there would be nothing that would be off the table that he would do to any human being that had any connection to the situation to get the information that he needed to ensure the safety and the life of his daughter. And I feel exactly the same way. I can't think of anything that I wouldn't do. Flat out torture to get the information that I needed. And that was a part of what we were talking about with our guest Anita Findlay coming on the program to talk about torture and the CIA torture report and what it is we do and who it is we are, how we define ourselves as a country. Anita Findlay, the author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 4 months the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list, and her latest about this at epictimes.com. Anita, welcome to the conversation. We've been having this ongoing mosh pit of what we would do or not do, and we're glad to have you on board.
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's always great to be with you. Go ahead.
No, I just say it's interesting, you know, and again, this is what we're seeing today in Pakistan is anecdotal to the conversation and to what it is that you wrote about. But over the course of what we see, whether it's the Lindt chocolate place down in Sydney, Australia, or it's what we see in Pakistan, or it's what we see with the beheadings by ISIS of American and British and Australians, at some point, I think those things chip away at your humanity, and you do become more primal.
Well, that's why I wrote the article, and that's the question I wanted to ask, is who are we as a nation? You know, it's interesting that people sort of raised their arms in uproar saying, well, if we release this torture report, it's going to hurt us in the Middle East and put people's lives in danger. And meanwhile, there's been a lot of coverage saying that there was sort of a collective shrug over there, whether that's because, you know, they gas and kill their own people and they're people who are living under regimes that torture themselves. So this, to them, was sort of a blip, and also that we did not desecrate the Quran or Islam in the course of these enhanced interrogation techniques, as they were so called. You know, maybe that's part of it, but there has not been a big reaction. But what's more shocking to me, Jerry, is there hasn't been a very big reaction in this country. It's interesting, you know, that you and Jose and Brad were talking about this in terms of, you know, there's nothing you wouldn't do. I understand that conflict, believe me, because I don't have any sympathy for terrorists whatsoever. And I don't, you know, it's hard to care about anybody's rights when you think that the life of a loved one is at risk. But, you know, it's interesting that people in this country are sort of collectively shrugging about it. I think that's for two reasons. One, we have so much on our own plates that we don't want to look at it, you know, and in the name of protecting ourselves, we can be coerced to do a lot of things we wouldn't normally do. And so, you know, maybe that's the reason why we don't want to turn over the rock, as it were, and examine what that means when you're waterboarding somebody or rectally force-feeding them or threatening to rape the person's mother or slit her throat in front of the prisoner and so on. And those were some of the techniques that were used here. But, right. You know, I, in the cold light of day, I do have to ask myself, is that okay with me? And, you know, in writing the article and thinking about this issue, what was interesting in terms of the Senate report to me is not so much, I don't want to make this a partisan issue. It's not like Bush bad, these people good, not at all. Forget that. So let's remove that from the equation and then remove from the equation whether it's morally right or wrong. Let's talk about, does it even work? That's the other thing that really bothered me when I read parts of this report, was that, you know, the you know, what's coming back is that this kind of stuff, it may feel like you're getting vengeance in the moment. It may feel like you're getting over on the person in the moment, but they'll tell you anything to make the pain stop. So is it even effective?
Yeah. Well, I, again, that's one of the points, of the torture report. You know, the head of the CIA will say that it is. Some would say, well, we wouldn't really know. How do you prove a false negative? You know, I mean, so there's all that debate. But to the issue of who we're dealing with, to go into a school with a bunch of kids and, you know, to be saying the kids are under the benches, kill them. I mean, there's a certain depravity of humanity that, to me, doesn't meet a standard by which I should have any concern for them as a human being on this planet.
Well, I agree with you there, but that's, something that I'd written, too, is no matter how liberal my politics may be, I think there are some crimes you commit for which you should never be allowed to walk the earth. I don't have any problem with that. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, what I'm asking is, why are we doing it if it isn't even working? I mean, in the moment, what it felt like to me, I only trust my spidey sense, Jerry. I'm speaking as a layperson. I'm looking at this from the ground up. I'm not a CIA interrogator. I'm not a military person. I'm not a Navy SEAL. I have respect for all of them, by the way. But I look at it as, you know, if the CIA director, Brennan, is hemming and hawing and has no way of saying anything specific that using these techniques were more effective than other forms of interrogation, then what's the point, really? When I read these techniques, what it felt like to me, it felt like, oh, I'm going to do something vengeful to get back at this person that I have in my custody. That's
right.
What it smelled like to me. And you know what? I get it, but isn't the most important thing to save our people? Isn't the most important thing to prevent the attack? Isn't the most important thing to get the intelligence we need?
Right.
And, you know, John McCain, who endured 5 years of torture, I mean, he's the one saying this is, and this is not a Democrat by any means, and he's saying this is a national stain on our honor. And you know what? I wanted to raise the question because it troubles me, too. I don't know what to do with it. It makes me uncomfortable. But I have to say, wait a second, you know, who am I and what is being done in my name?
Right.
And I think it's worth looking at.
What is being done in your name? I get it. And again, I want to understand where this comes from. One of the things that that I had told you last week we would talk a little bit about, and people have been writing about, is the 24 effect. And it's a TV show that you're familiar with because you were on it. And a lot of people think that in writing about it is that if you watch 24, Kiefer Sutherland's character gets results. And he does things that maybe would be considered beyond the pale by the standards of how we would judge ourselves as a nation. But if I watch 24 and I see Kiefer Sutherland get the results that needs to happen in that episode, then I'm more predisposed to being okay with torture, enhanced interrogation techniques, whatever you want to call them. That 24 has somewhat clouded my mind.
Well, you know what? That's a brilliant point, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, because pop culture has really changed the way we see so many things. The former Secretary of Defense Gates was talking about the fact that we sometimes have a magical view of the military in terms of how fast we can scramble the jets. This is, you know, and I don't want to get off the topic of the torture stuff, but in terms of how we see entertainment, even when you're looking at an episode of CSI, you know, my husband and I laugh when we watch these episodes going, oh, look, they're getting out the fart spectrometer.
Right.
You know, because basically it's like the stuff they come up with that, oh, yeah, we're going to get a fingerprint out of thin air. I mean, it's so nonsensical. I don't care what modern technology you have. You know, we have a glamorized view. There was a very disturbing article in the Times, I believe, just recently talking about our view of how the justice system works and how many trials there actually are versus, you know, most of it never gets to trial and we're doing a lot of plea bargaining. But back to the terrorism thing, 24... which, you know, was not the only show to use this. Scandal, which is executive produced and created by Shonda Rhimes, and certainly she's a big liberal from what I understand, you know, this show employs torture too. There is a lot, there is much programming, and there's a lot of film out there that promotes this kind of tactic, but what you said was really spot on, Jerry, because it promotes the idea not only of making it look normal and mainstream, it promotes the idea that it works.
that it gets results, right?
That's exactly right. But that's this is my question. This is my question. It's not about would I like to get revenge on these, you know, I can't say the word on
yes.
the air. Yes, I would. I can't help myself. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, what's the bigger picture? What are we really trying to accomplish here? We're trying to save people. We're trying to make sure that nothing else like this happens going forward and then adjudicate the crime for which, you know, and get the evidence and so on. So if that's what we're trying to accomplish, if pop culture is making us believe it works, but if you
right.
look at all the research, I mean, even Napoleon said how many hundreds of years ago that, you know, under this kind of torture, people will say and do anything to get it to stop, and you really don't get anything useless. And even the memory and the mind in the midst of that kind of stress and treatment is not reliable either. So
right.
if that's the case, then aside from the bloodlust that is brought on, that you feel, that I feel, that Brad feels, that we all feel, that is very reasonable and normal, aside from that in the moment, I'm talking about, I'm not the one administering this. You're not the one administering this. We are
right.
relying on people that we elect in the government and the people who are their underlings, representatives, and so on, to come up with an idea, to come up with a policy and a plan that's actually going to produce something actionable going forward. That's
right.
That's the logical picture. And if it isn't working, then why are we doing it?
Right. And again, I understand. How do we get the results? And is what we're doing working? And I think that's so much of what's missing in so many areas today in this country is what is the solution-based outcome? What is the best way to arrive at the best solution for the most number of people? But, you know, when I take a look at the, you know, the political aspects of the report, when I take a look at the timing of the report, when I take a look at the downstream ramifications of the report, now you've got the defense attorneys for the terrorists that are being held accused terrorists, excuse me, being held in Guantanamo Bay, that are now using the torture report as a playbook and demanding that they get the entire report to use as a defense against capital punishment for their clients and, in fact, in the indictment of the system by which they're being held and interrogated. So in a certain way, I don't know that the report changes anything. I don't know if we get better results or better outcomes, but I do know that it gives better information for defense attorneys to defend would-be terrorists that are being held in Guantanamo Bay. So I think a lot of this, and unfortunately too many things in this country, are politically motivated, and it's an agenda, whether it's the aftermath of Sandy Hook in the shooting at that elementary school where it became an issue about gun violence in America. It should be an issue about violence in America, of which guns should be a part of the discussion, as should any other, whether it's not enough funding for mental health, whether it's the shrinking of a million psychiatric beds in the last 50 years, all of those things should be a discussion about violence in America. And all of what should be discussed is how we go about getting the best results so that we can try and avoid what we saw today in Pakistan, what we saw in Sydney, Australia, and what we see all too many times where people who are subhuman are just committing heinous acts seemingly on a daily basis.
Absolutely. But you know what else that you talked about that I think is interesting in terms of, you know, defense attorneys using this for suspected terrorists? Isn't it frustrating? And this is something else that, you know, bothers me. Isn't it frustrating that on the one hand, we are asking ourselves to hold the moral high ground? And so, you know, on the occasions when we don't, then that is being used against us. It's being used against us one way or the other. And so,
right.
you know, I can understand why there's a lot of Americans out there, you know, putting their hands over their ears and just saying collectively, la, 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 you know, don't, it's fine. I don't want to go there, because it really does feel, and it does feel like a bigger burden. And certainly I don't feel like America is holier than thou, nor do we need to be. But, you know, I still want people running a program. There was also, you know, some incompetence based on who was carrying this stuff out. And that's the problem, too. Any program of anything is only going to be as good as the people leading it and the
right.
people
and
executing it. And that's,
and there are people on the far right of the argument, Anita, that would agree with you that there were people that were involved in this interrogation program that went beyond what the Justice Department had authorized, what the Supreme Court had voted on what the European Commission had said was and was not torture. So there were people, obviously, that went beyond where they should have been. And I think that, unfortunately, has painted a broad brush indictment across what might be techniques that have been used successfully to build what it is that we need to know about what it is these people plan on doing.
Well, you know, that, you see, that to me, you know, I, like I say, I like to apply logic here, and I like to look at what's the best outcome going forward. I don't think that this report should be used as a way to slander or slam, you know, this party, this side, that. You know, at this point, what's the point of that? You know, right now, I think we really have to look at, as you said, what's the best outcome going forward, and how do you apply a little more care? Because you see, there are so many widespread ramifications in the long run. If you have somebody incompetent, you know, we've got to really take care of who's minding the mint here and who is doing this. And in order to keep ourselves safe, there are better methods to go about this. And I think it is important that the American people look at and say, what do I want done in my name? Because you know what? I don't feel comfortable with that.
And also, you know, to broaden out the discussion, instead of making it hyper-political, which it ultimately does, and say whether or not these techniques worked or didn't, you know, I would include things like, what is it that we dropped the ball on with regard to the Sarnoff brothers and the Boston Marathon bombing? We had intelligence that was given to us by the Russians. We knew who these two brothers were.
Wow.
We knew what their intentions were. We didn't torture them to get that information. We were given that information, and yet people died and got blown up at the Boston Marathon. So, again, you know, what gets us the best results? I think that's what the most important conversation has to be had in the bigger picture, not something that's scored for political points or, you know, unfortunately thrown under the rug and, you know, we move on to something else. I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoyed the discussion, Anita. Thank you very much for joining us on the program. Hey, if I don't get a chance to talk to you, happy New Year, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, happy holiday. Did I cover everything?
Yes, you certainly did. I'm wishing you the happiest of holidays and a fabulous New Year, and to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me back on.
Are you going anywhere? Are you taking any trips, traveling?
Oh, no. I'm making my famous lemon chicken and rice.
Nice.
Having a big mob over on Christmas Day. We're having a big open house and our big wonderful tree that my husband decorates every year.
Nice. All right. Well, just remember this, FedEx, and you can send me some. Thank you, Anita Findley. Thank you very much. Stick with us. We'll wrap it up when we get back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.